All right. So, tell me about your experience, or like, what made you want to go to the conference in general?
Deciding what point I should start at. Okay. I think it's important that students to, when you're studying about what you want to do in the future, is to, one aspect is to be able to look into the future and see what's going to be the next thing, the next industry or sector that's going to be growing in order for us to be able to, one, have gainful employment, two, to be able to utilize our education to be able to catalyze our future career development. In that regard, I view Africa as it's the last frontier in terms of investment, and that throughout our careers, that Africa will become a much bigger player, and there's going to be a lot of opportunity on the continent, especially in sub-Saharan Africa. So that going to events like the Wharton Africa Business Forum is important in terms of just outreach, understanding, and learning the dynamics of how to do business in Africa.
So you think the opportunities that are gonna arise are definitely gonna be more business related in terms of, you know, private sector activity and whatnot?
Wait, as opposed to non-government?
Yeah.
This goes back to a dynamic of, do you believe the government does things more efficiently than the private sector?
Mm-hmm.
I think if you look over the history of growth, you need to have a strong governmental system in order to put the rules and the regulations in place to allow the private sector to do it. You have to put those rules in place. But the places throughout the world that actually have growth are places that have strong private sectors.
Mm-hmm.
And well, you can have NGOs, and you can have non-government, and you can have the ILOs come in and try to do things. But in the end, if you don't have a strong private sector, you're never going to be able to sustain people. It's going to be, I mean, from doing development work, you need to teach people how, I mean, the phrase, you need to teach people how to fish for themselves as opposed to giving them fish to eat. And that's basically, if you establish a strong private sector, you're giving them the techniques and tools in order to fish for themselves as opposed to giving them fish.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that government is about giving fish and private sector might be, you know, this is a gross generalization, but...
Well, the transfer, it depends. There's been, trying to be as concise as possible, There's a difference between, a lot of what happens is with government to government transfer is, one, it's politicized. And if it's a U.S. government transfer, it doesn't really do a whole lot because something like 50% of the funds actually have to be spent back in the United States or with U.S. companies. So you don't get a lot of real growth out of that. I mean, if you look at the flows from government to government, you have a lot of money going back and forth, but once foreign direct investment starts going in, it just dwarfs it. I mean, the new pledge to get up to 0.7% of GDP going into developing countries in terms of official development assistance would be about $80 billion a year. Most every country receives more in foreign direct investment than it does from the government.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
existence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. That's a good, it's definitely a good way to lay it out. Because it speaks to the importance of conferences like this. Because, you know, particularly African business conferences, and I agree with you in terms of Africa kind of being the next frontier, the last frontier, really, with the saturation of all, you know, the European and American markets. It's like, where are you going to go?
Right.
Latin America is definitely on the rise, but, you know, and people sleep on Africa. All right, so
it's
tell me...
It's their loss.
Huh?
It's their loss.
It is their loss, and there's, you know, I think we talked about it before, the low-hanging fruit for people who recognize that, who could see into the future like that. Tell me about your perspective about the conference in general. Like, have you been to the Wharton Conference before? Were you, you know, what were your perspectives? Did you have any expectations before going?
I try to reserve expectations just generally how I am. But I was pleasantly surprised with the amount of finance focus that there was. I greatly appreciated it because it was much more into my bailiwick. And it was great to, I mean, basically the entire conference, especially all the panels I went to, were just finance, which different types of finance. How do you do developing capital markets? How do you do private equity? How do you do bond establishments? Different things along. It was just very, very good, which is indicative because it's from the Wharton School, which is stereotypically finance.
Do you think in focusing on finance so much that it, you know, looking at it from the other side, there has to be other opportunities like non-finance related or like not so heavy on finance?
There's most definitely other opportunities, but if you're going to do anything business-wise, you have to have the finance arm in place. I think there's a time and place where, and there's other conferences. The Harvard Business Conference includes some finance, but is much broader. So I think that there's other players that go into those roles. Socialist thing about people coming. Someone told me about it.
Yeah, somebody wrote a nasty email.
About sick people coming to school.
Okay, so Harvard Business Conference is more broad, so you think it kind of like complements
mm-hmm.
Wharton in that regard?
I believe the Wharton one is the first one. The Harvard's been around 11 years, and this has been around 17 years.
Oh, Wharton was first?
Yeah.
Do you know of any other conferences like it?
There's the, I believe it's the first year, which will be this year's the Howard African Business Conference. And this is, yeah.
When is that?
Howard?
Mm-hmm.
It's it's February 22nd and 23rd, I believe.
February.
And the Harvard one is like a week before that, I think.
All right, so what actual speech or, I'm sorry, sessions did you go to?
State of Private Equity Investing in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Capital Markets, Next Steps for Development. Real estate development. Investments, limited partners perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
Tell me a little bit about which ones of the ones that you went to were kind of like stand out things you learned things that you hadn't known before. as well versed as you are in the different areas. They had a book.
Yeah.
Aww. Why don't you bring back a book, Kyle?
You can borrow this one.
All right.
This is how we're taking notes.
Yo, this is my cousin.
It's your cousin?
Yeah. Did he go to Wharton?
I don't know.
I don't think he went to Wharton. Yeah, he's a visual designer and marketing. He does marketing now. That's crazy. I gotta tell him that I saw his stuff in the book.
That's funny. I think that it came from the infrastructure panel. I don't think the infrastructure panel was necessarily the best panel, but it was just something that was more novel to me. Was talking primarily about power distribution in Nigeria, where there's enough, right now, there's more supply of power than can be distributed in Nigeria. There's a larger demand for both, but there's no reason to increase either one without increasing both. And talking about how do you get people to actually pay for it so you can have development of a power grid, and the way that has been proposed is to build neighborhoods, in effect be like gated communities where you'd have middle class people where the neighborhood would have its own power generation, and then the hope would be that you would have several neighborhoods end up building up with one another, and then they would be able to share their power generation in order to lessen the load problem.
That's interesting. How is it just an idea, or is it actually being realized?
It hasn't been done yet, but I think that it's in the process of the planning to do projects like that.
They're planning to. Who's that? Private sector?
IFC. Invested in that. I'm trying to see who from, I forget who it was from real estate. It's one panel. It's the moderator.
Really? Not so good.
No, sure, it was good though. Because people would get off tax. Some people go on the pack of tribes. She'd be like, no!
Really?
She'd be like, you have 10 seconds to answer this question.
Oh, wow. Intense. It was student run, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the IFC has invested in it as well as a few real estate.
Yeah.
As a few real estate. Developers. In terms of organization, did you think that the conference was organized? Right now?
Yeah, it was well organized.
Yeah. What was the overall tone? Like, what was the feeling that you got from people in terms of their prospects, in terms of conversation? Like, did you engage in conversation? Did you get to network?
I think overall, especially from people like the IFC and through dialogue from other African business leaders, not in and without the, out of the conference, is that there's a need for human capital into Africa, and there's a need for people who, like us, who are going to top-tier institutions to both go back and to go to Africa to bring the human capital necessary to develop the continent, and that there are a ton of opportunities. IFC specifically, because I want to get his name, Terry Tenno, who's the vice president for Sub-Saharan Africa.
For the IFC?
For the IFC. Said that the IFC is hiring people but to do Sub-Saharan African work. But they just started implementing more of an office structure. And they want people to go to Africa, to live in Lagos, to live in other cities. But they want them to go, because you can't do investments if you're not going to be in the area. And that there's a lot of different opportunities for people to go to Africa to do things, and that the money's there, they just need ideas and the operations and implementations in order to do it.
The money is there? Yeah.
There, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They just need the ideas and implementations. Nice. Did any particular, are they doing anything to foster people coming? Like, how do we know that the jobs are there? What are their, are they doing any recruiting? Like, how are they doing it?
IFC recruits there. I mean, they don't recruit here, but they recruit other institutions more heavily.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're finance based, so they want to come to, let's say, Fletcher.
Mm-hmm.
But they recruit and
I like
Warren because it's finance.
So they recruit at business schools. But there's no, like, program or something that's, you know, trying to, like, an intermediary?
They just started, I don't remember what the name of the program is. I'd have to look it up online. But there's a new program about going to Africa. It's an IFC program.
Okay, so was the IFC, like, the more prominent organization? Or were there?
They were the most well-represented organization that was there. I mean, the largest one. Because in Africa, the IFC serves as a credit risk analyst. So if, like, the IFC will go and invest in a project, then you can get other private money flows to go and invest into a project.
They're a credit risk analyst?
They serve as, how do I say it? What are those strips of paper that you put into acidity in chemistry?
Oh. I cannot think of it.
But the IFC will invest in projects more risky than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can get the IFC on board,
mm-hmm.
you know that they've done their homework, and you know that the level of risk that they typically take on a project, and that allow signals to the rest of the financial market the viability of a project, which has helped to increase investment.
Okay, nice. Were there any countries that stood out as, like, more open to opportunity? You know, people talk about South Africa all the time, and Kenya and Nairobi, but were there any?
Well, actually, I think that South Africa should be included in the BRIC countries, if not even. Because
really?
It's post, a lot of the opportunities that are in elsewhere in Sub-Saharan Africa are already gone in South Africa. People
mm-hmm.
already have done them. So South Africa isn't a place that you'd want to go to if you want to pick up the proverbial low hanging fruit. There's been a lot of talk about Rwanda has done significant things. Uganda has done significant things to help stabilize their countries and their investment opportunities. And there's obviously Ghana has done significantly well. Kenya has done well, but it's gone back and forth over the last year with some political turmoil, but has a stable investment. A lot of the sub-Saharan African countries have grown 7, 8, 9% over the last 7 to 10 years per annum, even with the financial crisis that has gone on. And a lot of the countries have been shielded from the financial crisis because there hasn't been the depth of the lending that went on in other countries. So it serves as a benefit. And now that the financial situation seems to be leveling out, it positions a lot of these countries in a much better light because they don't have the debt that a lot of other countries have.
That's awesome. A lot of people, when the financial crisis first hit, there was talk that Africa would be hit so hard because exports would decrease.
Well, there's been residuals. Residual effects. The primary effect of capital markets decreasing didn't really happen. The main thing that happened was that there was a flight of money, but it wasn't a flight away from Africa because they thought it was riskier. It was a flight because they needed to return their money to their home countries to cover their own currency. So there was a decrease in that regard. And then there was a decrease because of exports have decreased, but it hasn't been significant. Well, GDP growth for the handful of sub-Saharan African countries that I know of went from 7%, went down to like 3 or 4%. But if you put it into perspective of the United States growing at 2%, went down to like a negative 1 or 2%, or some countries negative, went much, much more negative. Still having positive growth in for 2008 and 2009 is quite an accomplishment.
You know, give us the inside, like, what were people talking about? What were people excited about? You know, it was like a finance, but were there any particular areas where people were like, yeah, I'd pack up my stuff and go work on this right now?
I don't think so. I think that, I mean, there's about 200, 300 people there, and so if you're talking about, oh, don't write this yet, I'm thinking. I mean, there's investment opportunities in things like the power grid, which will be very important in the next couple of years. But because everyone comes from different countries, and because Africa is so big, there's not really focal point of like this is what we're gonna go work on. I think everyone's really energized with just being able to be around other people who are interested in the same type of topic, which encourages, no matter what you're going to do, encourages you to go do it. Because you have positive reinforcement from everyone else.
any standout speeches, any standout panelists? Any employment opportunities that people should know about aside from the IFC?
Just in terms of employment, I think that internships aren't, especially paid internships, aren't really something that's available in Africa, because it's not something that's usual. But there's need for people to do things in which we would classify as internships.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not the mindset there that's like, okay, I do an internship, then I get hired by the company. Or I do an internship, period. It's starting, I think, to become more developed where companies do that. But if there's a lot of places where if you can find the correct person and you can be able to reach out to them, that you would be able to find employment. Because they're always looking for people to help out with whatever was going on, whatever their projects are going to be.
You looking for the standout panelists?
Yeah.
She was the moderator, but she was the
It's cool if you can't find her.
I don't.
There wasn't one in particular person who was like awe-inspiring. We're finance people. We're not
there. That's exciting. All right, let's do last words. I didn't realize we it's like half an hour, right? Let's do last words. Anything you would want to, anything you took away, anything you would want people to know who couldn't make it to the event?
I wholeheartedly support people going to events like this, especially people who aren't aware of the opportunities that are present.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an interest in just general business or an interest in Africa, I think that this is the way that people are going, the market's going to go. There's going to be a lot of investment opportunities over our careers in Africa, and that it would be a great place to be able to get your foot in the door.
When do you think, we're beginning to see it now, but how long do you think it's going to take for Africa to be a real player in the economic community? Africa, Sub-Saharan, not just South Africa or like a few key countries. Think we'll see that in our lifetime?
I believe so. Just if you look at the numbers, there's 900 million people in Sub-Saharan Africa. You have about $1 trillion GDP. You have economic growth at 6-7%, 8%. You're not going to get that in the developed world. You should see that type of growth, macro growth, probably for the next 15-20 years. So several sectors, if you can invest in the right areas, you're going to see 40-50% growth per annum. The sky's the limit, really. I don't think that if you can build it, you can do it. Like there's just it's like a blank slate. There's not a lot that's presently there. So
it's like we gotta fill it up.
Yeah.
Nice. Good way to end it.